Funding for the live broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is provided in part by Christus Spahn Health System, the largest not-for-profit healthcare system in South Texas. With six hospital campuses, Christus Spahn Health System provides over $55 million in charity care and $10 million in unbilled community services every year to the 13 counties it serves. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of the Cathedral Mass broadcasts. Additional funding is provided by the John G. and Marie Stella Kennedy Memorial Foundation, whose philanthropy serves the Catholic Church across the state.
Welcome to Corpus Christi Cathedral's Sunday Mass, where the gospel of Christ is shared among us, and through the Holy Spirit, our souls will flourish in our daily lives. Join us as we celebrate the Holy Eucharist, live from Corpus Christi Cathedral.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you.
And with your spirit.
And good morning, everyone. Thank you and welcome to Corpus Christi Cathedral. A word of welcome also to our families and friends who are visiting us and also following us through television, radio, and internet. We have with us a special group today, the RCIA people, who have been with us throughout this past year, studying and learning about our faith. Today, they'll go through their third and last scrutiny before they become full-fledged Catholic. I'd like to ask you to continue to pray for them. We are in the midst of the Year of Mercy. Pope Francis reminds us that you always seek mercy from God and to extend mercy to others. In today's gospel, we hear the stories of how Jesus was being merciful to the sinful woman. We too, God will show mercy if we come to God each and every time we sin against Him. Let's prepare ourselves for this Eucharist and let's call to mind our sins and ask the Lord for forgiveness. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done, in what I have failed to do, through my most grievous fault. Therefore, I ask Blessed Mary, Ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
Let us pray. By your help we beseech you, Lord our God, that we may walk eagerly in the same charity with which out of love for the world your Son handed himself over to death. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
Amen.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, who opens a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters, who leads out chariots and horsemen, a powerful army, till they lie prostrate together, never to rise, snuffed out and quenched like a wick. Remember not the events of the past, the things of long ago consider not. See, I am doing something new. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? In the desert, I make a way. In the wasteland, rivers. Wild beasts honor me, jackals and ostriches. For I put water in the desert and rivers in the wasteland for my chosen people to drink, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might announce my praise. The word of the Lord.
Full of tears, bearing seed for the sowing.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. Brothers and sisters, I consider everything as a loss because of the supreme good of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have accepted the loss of all things, and I consider them so much rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having any righteousness of my own based on the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God, depending on faith to know him and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by being conformed to his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. It is not that I have already taken hold of it or have attained perfect maturity, but I continue my pursuit in hope that I may possess it, since I have indeed been taken possession of by Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, I, for my part, do not consider myself to have taken possession. Just one thing. Forgetting what lies behind, but straining forward to what lies ahead, I continue my pursuit toward the goal, the prize of God's upward calling in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord.
Says the Lord, return to me with your heart, for I am gracious and merciful. Glory to you, Word of God.
Glory to you,
the Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, but early in the morning he arrived again in the temple area, and all the people started coming to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery and made her stand in the middle. They said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say?" They said this to test him so that they could have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and began to write on the ground with his finger. But when they continued asking him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let the one among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again he bent down and wrote on the ground. And in response, they went away one by one, beginning with the elders. So he was left alone with the woman before him. Then Jesus straightened up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She replied, "No one, sir." Then Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, do not sin anymore." The Gospel of the Lord. Morning. This week's gospel passage, as we just heard, is about the woman caught in adultery. This week, we also take a break from the gospel passages of St. Luke that we've been reading in Cycle C. And you see, we read from the Gospel of St. John. And this switch in itself is Holy Mother Church telling us that this lesson from St. John about the adulterous woman is an important lesson. And therefore, the Church wants us to hear it and to pray about it. And we all know this particular gospel passage all too well. This passage follows the theme of God's unconditional mercy found in last week's lesson and theme of the prodigal son. So this week, the theme is the same, but as we can see, the situation is completely different. First and foremost, these elders and scribes and Pharisees really do not care about this woman that they threw in front of Jesus. Sacred Scripture says that they made her stand in the middle in front of everyone. She was almost a non-person, if you will, in their eyes. They were only using her as a pawn, really, to get to Jesus, to try to trick him into saying something wrong. And Jesus had what we would call, you know, fancy word, a conundrum. Conundrum, which is essentially a difficult problem or a difficult question. So Jesus had a conundrum. You see, Roman law did not allow the Jews to put anyone to death. But when you flip the coin, Mosaic law called for adulterers to be stoned or even strangled. And if Jesus called for her death, he would risk being arrested by the Romans. And if he didn't, flip the coin again, he risked losing his credibility with the people. And secondly, when I looked at this passage, and I've preached about this passage several times over the last 22, 23 years, it always struck me that it was also convenient to only accuse the woman and her sinfulness and never mention her male partner as if he had no blame, no sin, nor any active role or participation in this wrongdoing. This in itself shows the injustice and the self-righteous attitude of those community leaders. But you know, as I mentioned before, in today's gospel also provides a very vivid illustration for all of us of God's infinite mercy, of God's infinite love, and God's infinite compassion. These characteristics, I think, remain relevant today as they did more than 2,000 years ago. And this story of the woman also allows us to, I think, personally encounter the two types of sinners or sins. The first, an obvious sin, being the woman and her partner, who, by the way, abandoned her when she was accused. That's the first one. The second one, however, the scribes and the Pharisees, sometimes we forget their sin because of the emphasis placed on the adulterous woman. You see, in their own eyes, in their own assessment of themselves, the elders and the scribes and the Pharisees are upright. They're righteous. They're just and are justified in seeking to fulfill the letter of the law. And if you really look at these guys, they're extremely arrogant in their judgment of this woman and are willing to use this opportunity to entrap Jesus. But you know, as the saying goes, no flies ever landed and stayed on our Lord's back. Jesus knew who they were, and he knew what they were about. He knew their hearts. These leaders were devious. They really didn't have any idea what it means to love or how to forgive. They came only knowing the letter of the law, but not when it came to themselves. They had no connection with the people of God and truly did not understand his mercy. So what does all of this mean for us living in today's world, for us living in the modern age of technology, of selfies, of pop culture, where the letter of the law says it's legal to kill the unborn? Today's gospel is truly meant for us living in our modern society. And why? Because our gospel is a living word. The good news is a living word that continues to pierce the human heart 2,000 years later. The woman and her partner, as well as the Pharisees and scribes, represent all of us, including you and me. All of us sin in both ways. Maybe not in the sense of what the woman and her partner did, but by hurting others when we sometimes indulge ourselves in fulfilling our own selfish desires at someone else's expense. Flip the coin again, and we can also act like the elders and the Pharisees by setting ourselves up to be superior and judgmental towards others. And yes, we've all done that. Looking our noses down on those who stub their toes or who have shortcomings, the same shortcomings we all have, except we see the splinter in their eye and miss the log in our own. So a question we might ask ourselves today is, what would we have done if we were there on that day? What would we have done? Would we have been part of the mindless crowd, part of the mob that wanted to stone the woman? An interesting question that may take some prayer and introspection on our part, and also some honesty. But we know what our Lord did. We know what Jesus did. Jesus saw a scared, lonely, and contrite woman. A woman who was being used by cruel and self-righteous leaders for their own personal agenda. And Jesus, as I mentioned before, knew who they were. He knew what was in their heart, and he knew that they lacked any understanding of God's love and of God's true mercy. They were small, fearful human beings locked up in their own power. We know how the story unfolds also. Jesus simply tells them that the only way they have the right to judge is if they themselves have no sins, especially of the same nature. And then little by little, this truth kind of seeps into their consciousness, and they become aware of what they were about to do and were embarrassed by their cruel intentions, and they begin to drift away one by one, ashamed of what they almost did. And then the woman was left alone with Jesus. And notice our Lord did not deny her sin, nor did he deny the fact that she had sinned, but instead he saw the potential for change. Jesus accepted her totally, giving her the opportunity to repent, giving her the opportunity to convert, giving her the opportunity to change her way of living and her way of being. And Jesus did not come to condemn us, but to save and to rehabilitate us, to give us a new and enduring life So again, how does this passage relate to us? Simply put, the good news, the gospel, is eternal, especially in this year of mercy. Jesus always leaves the door open for us, just like the holy doors in the back of our cathedral are open. The door is always open for each of us, each and every one of us, to come and to encounter him and to seek forgiveness and to truly experience the love, the healing, and the mercy of our Lord. Our Lord's final words to the woman, I think, strike a harmonious chord with all of us. Go and do not sin anymore. Whether we're guilty of the type of sin committed by the woman or that of the elders and scribes, let us be honest, and let us all try to make a humble attempt to change the dynamic of our lives in this holy year of mercy. My friends, may we truly be open to accept God's loving mercy and forgiveness. And if we do, we ourselves might become beacons of light for those who are searching for the same mercy and forgiveness in their lives. May Almighty God bless you, and may he give you strength and courage. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
This morning, we will be celebrating the last of the three scrutinies for our elect, those who are to be fully initiated at the Easter vigil with baptism, confirmation, and Eucharist. They need our prayers and support. We pray that each of these elect will hear the comforting message of pardon for sin and be filled with the Spirit of Christ the Redeemer, who is the resurrection and the life. James Andavarde, Priscilla Chapa, David Gaitan, Jeremy Gonzalez, Ricky Martinez, David Reichenbacher, and Cruz Saldana, please come forward with your godparents. The rest of the candidates, also please come forward with your sponsors.
I invite you, the sponsoring community of Corpus Christi Cathedral, to use this period of silence to pray for these elect and ask that they be given a spirit of repentance, a deepened sense of sin, and true freedom of the children of God. Elects of God, I invite you also to pray in silence and ask for God's grace and mercy as a sign of your inner spirit of sorrow for your sins. I ask you now, bow your head and pray. Father, source of all life, in giving life to the living, you seek out the image of your glory, and in raising the dead, you reveal your unbounded power. Rescue these elect from the tyranny of death, for they long for new life through baptism, freedom from the slavery of Satan, the source of sin and death, who seeks to corrupt the world you created and saw to be good. Place them under the reign of your beloved Son, that they may share in the power of his resurrection and give witness to your glory before all. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Lord Jesus Christ, you commanded Lazarus to step forth alive from his tomb, and by your own resurrection free all people from death. We pray for these, your servants, who eagerly approach the waters of new birth and hunger for the banquet of life. Do not let the power of death hold them back, for by their faith they will share in the triumph of your resurrection. For you live and reign forever and ever. Amen. My dearest friends, with the assurance of your loving support, this community sends you forth to reflect more deeply upon the word of God we have shared. May Christ, who is the power and wisdom of God, challenge you to be one with us in the discipline of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, that you may be one with us at last in the Paschal feast of the Lord's table. Go in peace, and may the Lord remain with you always. Amen. Please congratulate them on their first group. Let us stand and profess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us men and for our salvation. He came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary, and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. The Lord has indeed done great things for us. Filled with joy, we present to God now the needs of those around us and in our midst.
That our church model for the world the forbearance, forgiveness, and welcome that bring life, not death, we pray to the Lord. That reconciliation replace recrimination in our political world for the sake of achieving the common good of the people, we pray to the Lord. That our nation may experience a conversion of heart and return in penance and sorrow to our covenant with God, we pray to the Lord. For those preparing for the Easter sacraments, especially those among us, as they learn the healing and loving ways of the Lord, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That we might seek ways to raise up rather than to condemn our brothers and sisters during the Jubilee year of mercy, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those who serve in our armed forces and for their families and loved ones, we pray to the Lord. For the intentions of this Mass, for the eternal repose of the souls of Ricardo R. Amador, Sr., Evangeline Hernandez, Peggy Sumner, Robert E. and Hannah G. Hagelin, and for the intentions of Margarita Garcia, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Now, my friends, for all the prayers that we hold in the silence of our own hearts, For all of our needs, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayers.
O loving God, you are always guiding and leading us to greater understanding of yourself. We ask you to grant these our prayers, for we ask them through Christ our Lord. Amen. Pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. May the Lord accept the sacrifice at your hands for the praise and glory of his name, for our good of all his holy church. Hear us, Almighty God, and having instilled in your servants the teachings of the Christian faith, graciously purify them by the working of this sacrifice through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks. Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, through Christ our Lord. For as the true man, he wept for Lazarus, his friends, and as Eternal God, he raised him from the tomb. Just as taking pity on the human race, he lead us by his sacred mysteries to new life. Through him the host of angels adores your majesty and rejoices in your presence forever. May our voices, we pray, join with us in one chorus of exultant praise as we acclaim. You are indeed holy, O Lord, and you, all you have created rightly gives you praise. For through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power and the working of the Holy Spirit, you give life to all things and make them holy. And you never cease to gather people to yourself, so that from the rising of the sun to its setting, a pure sacrifice may be offered to your name. Therefore, O Lord, we humbly implore you, by the same Spirit, graciously make holy these gifts we have brought to you for consecration, that they may become the body and blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, at whose command we celebrate these mysteries. For on the night he was betrayed, he himself took bread, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you. In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, and gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me. The mystery of faith. Therefore, O Lord, as we celebrate the memorial of the saving passion of your Son, his wondrous resurrection and ascension into heaven, and as we look forward to a second coming, we offer you in thanksgiving this holy and living sacrifice. Look, we pray, upon the oblation of your church and recognizing the sacrificial victim by whose death you will to reconcile us to yourself. Grant that we who are nourished by the body and blood of your Son and filled with his Holy Spirit may become one body, one spirit in Christ. May he make of us an eternal offering to you, so that we may obtain an inheritance with your elect, especially with the most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, blessed Joseph, her spouse, with your blessed apostles and glorious martyrs, and with all the saints on whose constant intercession in your presence we rely for unfailing help. May this sacrifice of our reconciliation, we pray, O Lord, advance the peace and salvation of all the world. Be pleased to confirm in faith and charity your pilgrim church on earth, with your servants Francis, our Pope, and Michael, our Bishop, the order of bishops, all the clergy, and the entire people you have gained for your own. Listen graciously to the praise of this family whom you have summoned before you. In your compassion, O merciful Father, gather to yourself all your children scattered throughout the world. To our departed brothers and sisters, and to all who are pleasing to you, at their passing from this life, give kind admittance to your kingdom, that we hope to enjoy forever the fullness of your glory, through Christ our Lord, through whom you bestow on the world all that is good. Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. At the Savior's command and formed by divine teaching, we dare to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, Peace I leave you, my peace I give you, look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. Let us offer each other the sign of peace.
Thank you.
Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Only say the word to my soul. God bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The weekly broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is made possible in part by the generosity of Christus Spahn Health System, providing more than $6,000 of charity care every hour of every day to the residents of South Texas. More specific information is available on the web at christusspahn.org. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of this broadcast and their many other ministries and services to the people of South Texas. If you've been blessed by this broadcast and would like to support the Cathedral TV Mass Ministry, consider sending a tax-deductible contribution to the address on your screen. The Cathedral Sunday Mass is a ministry of the Corpus Christi Cathedral and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.